What is going on, coexisting fans? This is Rob Wilkins. I will be joined by Maggie here shortly. She is doing the prediction show for True Hill Heat. So she said she would be over here soon. Hope everyone's doing well. It is Friday, August 22nd, and want to say thank you for tuning in. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to be giving you AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling Forbidden Door predictions. We're going to talk about Chris Jericho. I know that's everybody's favorite topic. Potentially going back to the WWE. Is that true? I don't know. We will find out, though. And there's Maggie. Hello.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We are good. So right now, Bryn makes a good point. Right now, SmackDown is going live right now in Dublin, so no spoilers, please, in the chat. But yeah, we're gonna, like I said before, gonna be talking AEW Forbidden Door predictions. Gonna get your thoughts on the rumors of Chris Jericho returning to the WWE. I know you're excited about that, and kind of just last week we talked for a good while about ESPN and WWE, and they pushed that up really quick, so that's changing with WrestlePalooza taking place. Very interesting name, because it is.
So, be honest, did you laugh when you first heard that name?
I didn't laugh, and the reason why is I think if I lived somewhere else, it would have made me laugh, but the fact that I know, like, my favorite indie, and I've talked about it before here, First Wrestling out of Minneapolis, they actually have that trademark.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious to see what... it is an old ECW pay-per-view name, but First Wrestling does have that trademark, so I'm kind of curious to see if there was some kind of deal made or what exactly. I don't know. But very interesting to say, but... I know you just got done talking about AEW Forbidden Door over on True Hill Heat with SP3. Yes. So I know you're excited to do some more of that very shortly.
But always excited to talk about any AEW pay-per-view with you, because you always have some weird-ass thoughts.
Yeah, that's true.
And I'm always excited to talk to you about it.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's true. I probably do have some weird ass takes. We'll find out, see what happens. But as I start every show, Maggie, how you doing?
I'm depressed, Rob.
Welcome to the club.
Yes. Yes, I am depressed because I'm once again in love and I want to die. This sucks. I talk at lengths. At the start of the True Heel Heat prediction show, I'm not well. I need mental help, it says here, because this has to stop. I have decided that it was an incredibly good, wonderful idea to fall in love with one of the hosts of the Basement Yard podcast. Which I, like... Instagram is weird because it made me the Instagram algorithm gave me that podcast, and I'm like, who is this person? And I just fell in love with him, and like, I need to stop doing that.
I've never heard of the show, so it must.
Oh, it's fine. Like, not all people watch podcasts all the time, and they're just too, because like when you hear the phrase two men with a microphone, you think of something awful, correct? Because all of us think about that. No, they're wholesome, they're funny, and they're loving, and you know, it's amazing, two people. And like, what the fuck, man? Like, I need help. This needs to stop. Guys, this is a wrestling show. Thank you so much for joining us, because this week has been all over the place for me. We had a Nick Cave concert 2 minutes away from my bar, and everyone came to my bar after the concert ended, and I a wonderful time was had by everyone apart from me. So thank you so much for joining us. This is so much of my safe place right now. Thank you so much for being here. Please leave a like on the video. It is the most wonderful and free way in which you can support us. Rob and I appreciate you all a bunch. Like Bryn said in the chat, SmackDown is happening as we speak, so no spoilers in the chat. I will be yelling at you guys. Our friend Zach said, mentioned in the chat that it is International Peach Day. I ate a bunch of peaches on the True Heel Heat prediction show. Bunch of peaches. I had one, okay? I ate the rest of them yesterday. If you guys would like to support us with your money, because you know Rob and I will always appreciate you for that, you can send a super chat at the bottom of the YouTube live chat, the little dollar sign. Or if you're watching on any other platform, you can send a Humper Chat at humperchats.com. Humperchats.com makes us keep a little bit more of the proceeds, so we always make our watchers / listeners take that route, because it's better for us. Any amount will get your question read live on the air. If you have food ideas, because you know it's me, I love food ideas. If you have comforting thoughts about me being in a dead end the crush situation, thank you so much. I'm so depressed, man. Of course, please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. It is our bread and butter and the easiest $5.99 you're ever going to spend on wrestling. A lot of contract news, and you know, it's pay-per-views weekend. You always get a bunch of scoops about that, backstage news and everything. Sean's Q&As. Ask Grapsity, Sour Graps, and last, definitely not least, you get the Weekender podcast with Steven Jensen, which is probably the main reason you should be subscribed to Fightful Select. But with that being said, hit the thumbs up. Let's talk about wrestling. Rob, are you excited about Forbidden Door?
I am. Sean asked if we're going to be covering or doing predictions for NXT Heatwave. We weren't really planning on it, but we can do them quickly.
Yeah.
If you want.
Oh, that was high-pitched. I'm sorry.
Yeah. We do have a super chat, though, from Ryan Sullivan. He says, I want it to be called Wrestle Shindig instead of Wrestlepalooza. I like that name. So,
why is Ryan all of a sudden in the last few weeks making sense?
Well,
this is how you know the world is ending.
Yeah. But, yeah, Maggie. AEW Forbidden Door taking place this Sunday in London, England at the O2 Arena. It's going to be another afternoon pay-per-view for us folks here in the States, which is always fun. But
what
as
time
we
does it start for you?
I want to say it's at 2 o'clock, but I can't. 2 o'clock Eastern, I want to say it, but I could be wrong. I haven't really looked into it too much. But yeah, it's I'm excited for it. I believe there's 9 matches on the card right now, so we know there's another 12 that'll be added.
Yes, that is correct.
So, we will start with Adam Copeland, and Christian Cage taking on Kip Sabian and Killswitch with Mother Wayne. So the matriarchy is what they're going by. But yeah, there's no way in hell Adam Copeland or Cope and Christian Cage are losing this match, Maggie.
There's no way, but like the question here I have for you was this reunion forced for you?
Yeah, there was something definitely weird.
I mean, because all of us knew that we were aiming for Cope and Christian versus FTR at All Out. All of us knew that this was coming. It's Canada. It's, you know. But like, was this reunion, were you force-fed this reunion incredibly, incredibly fast? Did you need more time? Because I definitely did. I definitely needed more time for this to be, you know. I understand that probably, and this is what I said on the True Heel Heat podcast, like minutes before, for me, this match is happening because they wanted to have Kip Sabian on the show. And I think that this is a wonderful idea because Kip gets to perform in his home country, first of all. And second of all, he's wildly underrated. But he needs to be put on camera, to be put in the ring. Incredibly, incredibly, incredibly underrated. But what do you think about the match? Like, are you excited or not? Because I kind of feel like I'm not excited. But I just want to see the match because having all of the participants in it, how can it it be not good? I'm bummed about Nick Wayne, though.
Yeah. No, that's for sure. I'm bummed about Nick Wayne not being able to be in the match due to injury. It does seem like a little forced and done quickly, but they really didn't have any option, I guess, because of the pay-per-view coming up, and they didn't have enough time. I don't know if they booked themselves into a corner or what, but yeah, it felt like a little, it felt a little rushed, but it also felt a little forced. However, it's one of those things where it'll be good to see those two teaming up again. That's the way I look at it. And that's why I think Edge and Christian, I think it's rather obvious that they're going to win. And they'll go on to face FTR here eventually.
Do you think it will be for the tag team championships?
I don't want it to, but I have a feeling it will be.
Okay.
And don't get me wrong, we both know I like FTR. I'm a big FTR fan, but I really like Brodito. But
we're going to talk about that match when we get to it.
Yeah, we'll actually go to that one next. It's probably just the easiest. So yeah, let's go ahead and just move on to that match. Brodito taking on FTR versus FTR versus Hurt Syndicate. Man,
Hurt Syndicate, they're the champions.
Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin, along with MVP at their side. So, yeah, this one is a good triple.
Did you see on their social media that they said that it was going to be an eliminator match?
No, I did not see that. So it's an eliminator match.
So it's an eliminator match, but it's still a three-way on their website, which is weird because they... And that's why, because we still don't know the stipulation, because if it's an eliminator match, then by that logic, it shouldn't be a no DQ. It shouldn't. But it's weird because if it's an eliminator match, then no one gets protected. And Hurt Syndicate have to be pinned one way or another.
Yeah, I didn't.
So I have no idea. I didn't know this too, but like SP3 and JNU said it on the prediction show. I had no idea too. Because if it's a three-way, let's say Hurt Syndicate are protected and FTR pin Brody, which is something that I never want to say in my life. I never ever want to say this because, listen, Brodito is a wonderful up and coming tag team that is over with the crowd immensely. And how can they not? They're two wonderful, wonderful wrestlers. Brody has been a fan favorite for months now. But I miss Buddy Matthews so damn much. I know that he's incredibly injured, and I'm incredibly bummed out for that. But I so wish that Buddy Matthews and Brody Lee, Brody King, I'm sorry, were challenging the Hurt Syndicate for their championships and eventually winning, because I predicted months ago that those two would be the ones to dethrone Hurt Syndicate. That's not the case, though, because Buddy Matthews, a total bummer, but injured like the majority of the AEW roster, and I hate this. I hate it here. So it's a three-way, you get protection. Kinda. But like if it's an eliminator thing, this is weird because you need to be pinned. You need to lose. So this is kind of bugging me. I don't know what to think about that. By all means, I do think that they are gonna make Cope and Christian versus FTR for the tag team championships. I feel like they cannot help themselves. Seriously. In my eyes, this tag team match does not need championships. I think that you will agree here. Because it's the same with The Rock and Roman. Yeah. This is a big enough match. There's no need for a championship there. So I'm kind of torn. I'm going to go with FTR here. Low-key, I really want Hurt Syndicate to keep being champions. But I don't think that MVP mentioned to MJF that if he wins the championship, Bobby Lashley will be coming for him. I don't think that he mentioned this by accident. And I do feel like Hurt Syndicate will no longer be tag team champions and championships will go to FTR. What do you think? This is a bit of a mess right now. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I want to say this. I think you hit it right on the head there. I think FTR is going to win the titles, and what I think is going to happen, and it's kind of, I'm kind of fast forwarding here, but it works with my point here. MJF is not going to be around when they lose these titles to FTR, who I'm guessing. I prefer Brodito, but I think it's going to be FTR. And I think the thing that's going to be noticeable, and again, I'm fast forwarding here, is because MJF wasn't there for them, I have a feeling Hurt Syndicate will cost MJF the title. I know they don't need that, and I know that AEW's been really good about not doing, they have been doing run-ins, like in their main event matches, so never mind on that. Yeah, so, but I think this would actually be okay because it would help the story that we know that's inevitable. You know, we know it's coming. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the way to do it. You let Hurt Syndicate lose those titles. You get the titles on FTR. They're killing two birds with one stone. I agree with you that match, FTR, Edge and Christian, or Cope and Christian, does not need the tag team titles. But the one thing that we're forgetting is Tony Khan has been on the record saying that Christian Cage is one of his favorite wrestlers of all time. I think he's pretty much said that about Cope too. You know, like Cope was one of the first guys he went after when they started AEW. So I have a feeling he wants to put those titles on Cope and Christian. That's just my opinion. That's what I think. JT makes a good point. He thinks Hurt Syndicate costing MJF makes MJF a babyface again. The thing is, MJF's at that point now where he's going to get cheered either way. He's going to get booed either way. Because he's just an asshole, and he does his job so well that I actually don't really see it being an issue if Hurt Syndicate turns their back on MJF. So, yeah, that's my route. And like I said,
they already turned their backs on him. So.
Yeah, but I'm like, it's just this is where it's going to get like violent though for him, you know. This is what's going to set up a feud for MJF and Bobby Lashley. They're going to have a match, you know. Mm-hmm. They have to have a match because that's just how I feel. They're going that route. That could they absolutely be going a different route? Sure, but That's just the way I see it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. Clown makes a good point in the chat. Hurts someone too much and they get DQ'd out of the match.
That'd be interesting.
A pretty horrible way to lose those tag team championships, but a way nonetheless.
Yeah. Before I forget, I want to welcome anybody that's watching us on our new streaming platform over on Kick. We just started over there last week, so I want to say thank you for joining us if you're watching us on there. So I'm very excited about another platform for us. It's always good. I believe it's Kick, isn't that it?
It's Kick, yes.
Okay. Cool.
Cool.
So we move on to our next match here. I think I know who you're going to want to win, but it's a tough one for you. And it's for the IWGP World Heavyweight title. Nigel McGuinness with Daniel Garcia by his side and versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Oh, man. Oh, my God. Five panties, my people. Five panties, okay? Five panties match.
Well played, Bryn. Well played.
We love you, Bryn, so much. You're the best. Okay, so Nigel McGuinness versus Zack Sabre Jr. Listen up. Who am I supposed to be rooting for here? I'm kidding. It's obviously Zack Sabre Jr. I love you, Nigel. But it's Zack Sabre Jr. It's a no-brainer for me. But listen up. I've waited long enough for this match. And thank God I'm getting it. Of course, Zack Sabre Jr. retains here, but I do believe that Daniel Garcia turns heel on Nigel McGuinness at the end of the match. Because why? Explain to me why would this be happening with Nigel having Daniel Garcia in his corner anyway? Because this is weird. It's so random. Like, it would have been better if he had Daddy Magic there because they both do commentary. But this is weird. Like, all of a sudden, Danny, I beat you in a match, but because I beat you in the match and you lost, I feel bad. And now I want you to be in my corner.
Yeah.
For the match. This was so weird. Daniel Garcia was a bit weird during that segment when they shook hands and they hugged her and everything. So I kind of feel like there's breadcrumbs there.
Yeah.
I don't know if the heel turn doesn't happen, why have that? So random. So random. What do you think? And how many panties do you want?
Definitely 69 panties. Definitely. So
there you go. It was right there.
Yep, 69. This match, Zack Sabre Jr. wins. I definitely agree with the turning heel on Nigel. And I think it'll set up a match between Nigel and Daniel Garcia at WrestleDream, or All In, rather. All Out, right? Yeah,
All Out.
Thank you. All Out in Toronto in a couple weeks. So.
Oh, Soupy sent the super chat, which is amazing. Amazing shout out. I want Brian on commentary for Zack Sabre Jr. and Nigel McGuinness match. I was so stoked during the entire episode of Dynamite this week because of Brian Danielson on commentary.
Yeah.
What did you think? He was good, right?
Yeah, he's good. He's I always like hearing Brian talk, so it's
I adore that.
It was
and
good.
He will be on the Zero Hour with Renee Paquette. So yep. there's a nice little reunion. That's the whole reason people have to tune into the Zero Hour now.
Yeah, he's doing that with Renee, RJ City, and your guy.
Stop saying that.
Double J Jeff Jarrett. That's J E double F J A double R E double T. Who our friend got to do a show this week with him. Did you see that? Tom no. Campbell.
Oh, Tom, yeah. Oh, we yeah. talked about the last week. Yeah.
Yeah. So Tom Campbell did that that show with him, and it was good. I saw a couple of clips from it, so I'll definitely check it out in full because, yeah, want to support Tom. So he's always been good.
Wonderful, to us, wonderful even though, person.
Even though he just wants to drop you off
at
Depart.
You know, Departers.
Yeah, yes. Right when you get. That's the inside joke. If you didn't see our Coexisting After Dark episode with yes. Tom Campbell, good times. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite episodes that we've ever done. Anyways, moving on. We both have Zack Sabre Jr. winning here.
Yes, absolutely.
We will move on to Kyle Fletcher.
So good. I'm sorry, it's going to be so good. Everything Kyle Fletcher from now.
Kyle Fletcher defending his AEW TNT title against Hiromu Takahashi. Yeah.
Because we talked about this on the prediction on the True Heel Heat, I was wondering if they ever faced each other previously, you know, in New Japan or anywhere else. So apparently, one-on-one, nowhere. And tag teams, yeah, probably. I didn't quite make that specifically clear. But I always love seeing people with so different in-ring style face off with one another. Because we have no idea what to expect here. And thank you, Bryn. Thank you. I mean, that is what I meant. We have no idea what to expect. And knowing these two, this is probably going to be a sleeper of a match that's going to be so good.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with that. But I think
100% Kyle Fletcher yeah. retains the TNT yep. championship. This is one of the easy ones on this show.
Exactly. So we will move on to our next match here. The four-way match for the AEW TBS championship. Persephone versus Bozilla versus Alex Windsor and Mercedes Moné defending her title in this four-way match. If they're going to move this title off Mercedes, this is a good time to do it, in my opinion. In a four-way match where she doesn't control her own destiny here, and that way she can get going towards that AEW world title. I think this is where she loses.
Is this your pick?
This is my pick. I'm going with... Oh, man. Man, this is tough. I don't know if they want to put that title on. You know what? Hell with it. Alex Windsor wins the title. There you go.
I wouldn't be mad if that happens. But first of all, Mercedes Moné is going to bump like crazy for Bozilla.
Yeah.
She is. It's going to be so awesome to see. She's going to land on her neck about 56,000 times. Prior to last week's Dynamite, the last time Fletcher and Takahashi were in the same match was Forbidden Door 2023. But they didn't face one-on-one, right? Correct? They didn't face one-on-one. They were in a tag or whatever match. I still feel like Athena should be the one to take that championship off of Mercedes Moné. And I will die on this hill until such time comes where a different woman dethrones Mercedes Moné for that TBS championship. So I'm going to pick Mercedes Moné to retain here. Everything that they're doing with Alex Winza is nothing short than spectacular. I saw her last year at RevPro, and now that she's a part of AEW, I cannot wait for her to turn heel, because she was an amazing heel. It came so natural for her. Not that she's not a good face. I mean, we haven't even seen that much of her as a face, for me to be saying that, but she was a spectacular heel. Pile driver finisher, yes, you are correct. Athena Forever. I don't know if when the time comes, in my eyes, that Athena dethrones Mercedes Moné, she still has that Ring of Honor championship or not. So I wanna ask you a question, Rob, because this was brought up with J News and SB3 a couple of minutes ago. Do you think Athena relinquishes the title because she just goes to AEW? Or do you think someone beats her for the championship, the Ring of Honor championship?
Yeah, I do think somebody beats her, and her name is Billy Starks.
Okay, this is the right answer for me. Because a point was made that, she, like Asuka did, just relinquish the championship and move to the main roster if we think AEW is the main roster and Ring of Honor is a developmental brand or whatever. But I do feel like reigns like this are awesome when they put over someone in the end. Because someone will get the rub out of beating the longest reigning champion. And I do feel like this should be Billy Starks, because why? What is the reason we were building towards that? I mean, it's been years now.
Yeah, and Power Driver makes a good point, but I think if you do a story correctly, I think it can happen. I think you can get her over.
She was incredibly over the last time they faced each other.
Yeah.
The audience was ready for Billy Starks to beat Athena. But yeah. It's been like the build was so great that I don't know if the execution will be this, because it's been so long, man. She truly is the forever champion. She really is. But that is the reason why I'm picking Mercedes Moné to retain here. Sadly, and this is in no fault of their own, I don't think that any of these wonderful, wonderful women take that championship from Mercedes. It's not their fault, by the way. It's just the way she's portrayed on television.
Yeah. So you have Mercedes, I have Alex Winter. I do like I could see Persephone winning that title, just because of the CMLL working relationships going really well. So I could see that being an option. It wouldn't surprise. It wouldn't.
I would love that. I would love that.
It wouldn't upset me by any means. I'd be fine with it. We will move on to our next match here, and that is, let's just go ahead and go with Timeless Toni Storm versus Athena. I have Toni retaining here. I don't see Athena holding both. I just don't see Athena being a double champion. I mean, if they are going to do it, then yeah, she would just have to relinquish the title, and that might be the way to go. But I don't know. I just don't like that idea.
I am in the camp of Athena being the one to beat Mercedes Moné, because for me, this is the match. We already saw it in the Owen Hart tournament. We all know how wonderful this match could be, and all of us are waiting for round two. this is in no way saying that Athena versus Toni Storm will not be great. It's gonna be so good. I feel like it will low-key steal the show. Because Toni Storm has a different level of love outside of the US. People love her everywhere, don't get me wrong. But outside of the US, she's even more beloved. So if the whole story here is that Toni Storm has always lost in London. Always lost in London. The first time she couldn't get her championship back, and Saraya won that match. And last year, Blake Monroe, Jesus Christ, she beat her and got that championship, and that's she's always lost in London. So third time's a charm. She retains her championship here, hopefully. This is, for the record, the execution of the contract for Athena.
Okay.
Yes. So, who said that Billy Starks costs Athena?
That was JT.
JT. Okay. So this is a wonderful shout. Billy can cost Athena. And we can get moving with that program. This is absolutely possible. When's the next big grid?
Oh, that's right.
That's right. What?
Well, no, I mean she is defending the title against Mira Shirakawa, but she can cause like a loss for Athena. And. And then we could see Billy Starks maybe cost her twice in a row. Like the first time was an accident. But I just don't like that idea. I don't know.
But why would Billy Starks cost Athena the ROH championship when she can fight her for that championship herself?
I know. That's a good point. I don't know. It's all... There's like so many options. It makes it actually interesting. Like it,
I know.
It's good.
But again, I ask, when is the next big Ring of Honor pay-per-view?
Probably December.
Is it Final Battle December?
I would assume it's probably Final Battle.
Okay.
But you know that is the question that
I always predicted that Athena drops that championship at Final Battle.
This is a Bryn alert. Bryn alert.
Because it's Final Battle or whatever. yeah, but I do feel, but like it's August, right? I'm gonna blink and December yeah. will already be here.
Yep, there we go. Yeah, we got it. Death Before Dishonor's next Friday, and the final battle is in December in Columbus, Ohio.
Jesus, Ohio gets all the fun.
Yeah, they get Jeremy Lambert, they get
Jeremy, and that's about it.
And that's where your guy Wardlow's from.
Oh, yeah. Do you think he comes back to during Forbidden Door?
I don't know. What would he... Well, I mean, who knows?
I hope so!
Well, yeah, I mean, I know you hope so, but I don't know, like, what would he... Yeah, it's always possible, I guess. You know?
I don't care what he does.
Yeah.
I really do. I don't even care if he returns to be backup for MJF versus Bobby Lashley. I don't even care about that. I don't even care about the obvious plot holes in that storyline. I really don't. I just want Wardlow on my television. Please. Could we just... I mean,
They're done filming American Gladiator, so he should be...
Exactly. Yeah. He has to be good to go.
Got to work your guy, The Miz, so...
Stop saying that.
Forbidden Door, the dose. The other Forbidden Door.
Yeah, but, the other Forbidden Door. Yes. Yeah, so he's done. war daddy's done, so come home to Rose.
So you have Tony Storm winning?
Tony Storm wins, yes.
Okay. Let's go with little Okada versus Swerve Strickland for the AEW Unified Championship.
What are based you on this match?
Well, obviously, I'm excited for it because of two outstanding wrestlers. However, due to the recent reports of Swerve Strickland being probably going to be put on the shelf, possibly, he's working injured. I don't see him winning this match, or winning the title at least. So I'm going with Okada just based off the report. If there wasn't such report going around, I actually think Swerve would win. If Swerve was healthy, I think Swerve would win.
So Swerve going to join the injured list is heartbreaking for me because, again, I hate it here. Why is everyone injured? Please stop. So Swerve said that he was dealing with a torn meniscus thingy for the past 6 years, since 2019. He was still a part of WWE at that point. Just FYI. So this is mind-boggling for me. So you're an athlete, and you're like, ow! For 6 years. What? And what's even more astonishing is that he worked all of the matches that we saw him being a part of with that injured meniscus. So, knee injuries make my hair stand out. Okay? This is bugging the crap out of me. Every time someone lands on their feet from a great height, and I'm like, my knees hurt a bit. And for someone to be working this caliber of matches, because Swerve Strickland has been part of a bunch of weird ass matches. So doing that with a bum knee, that is next level. And I'm not saying this is a good thing. I want all the wrestlers to take care of themselves because we love to see them perform. I don't need for this to get worse and worse and worse, and then eventually for him to be gone for a year or so. Just please don't do that. Take care of your health. Take care of yourselves. Be grown-ups about it. And like, this is Kitty Omega all over again. Like dealing with 13 stuff at one time. Just this is not okay. Be grown ups, take care of yourselves, because we love you. That's what I'm gonna say about the matter. So the second thing that I kind of want to say, that this is one of the weird matches on this card. And I kind of feel like I'm the only one saying this because no one thought the same. Between SP3 and Genius, or anyone in the chat, because it's Okada and it's Swerve Strickland. It's one of the biggest people in AEW right now, and I keep forgetting about the match. I don't know why that is. I keep forgetting that this match is gonna occur. Having in mind that I keep forgetting that Swerve Strickland was a part of AEW, a part of WWE before he landed in AEW, because his AEW run has been so great and fruitful that I keep forgetting that he was a part of that other company. I keep feeling that he's homegrown, if you understand what I say. Because he's on such a wonderful run in AEW. I cannot for the life of me understand why I keep forgetting about this match. Yeah, obviously Kazuchika Okada retains. I don't know what happens after. Like, who does he drop that championship to? Because everyone's fucking injured. Apart from Swerve, who's going to go away after this match, take the entire face team for the Lights Out cage match. All of these people are injured. Or part-time. All of them. Like, no baby faces are okay. None of them. But the positive part here is that the moment Swerve Strickland comes back, that pop is gonna erupt the building or stadium, whatever. You're muted.
Yeah, that would be good. It would be good. That would be a hell of a reaction. This is interesting. You make a good point about Okada. Who would be next for him? And there's a part of me that thinks Takeshita would be a good way to go. And Bryn just said that too. Cool. So
listen, Takeshita's gonna go after Zack Sabre Jr. eventually.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, but we keep, because he's a part of the Don Callis family, correct? And this has been a slow burn between Takeshita and Okada. But previously, it was between Takeshita and Kyle Fletcher.
The other thing, too, it could be Omega. Again.
Omega's a part-timer.
Yeah. I just don't think they're going to go that route again. It sounds great, obviously, in my head, but... Oh, Soupy, I guess, said it first, too. Never mind. Sorry, Soupy, I missed it. Oh, there it is. There you go. Cool.
Yes.
But, I like the Takeshita idea. I also think...
But those are two heels.
Yeah, I know, but you can always... There's ways around it, I guess. I don't know. Hell.
Ways around it don't necessarily have to be a thing here, because I keep forgetting that a good old heel versus heel match every once in a while is a wonderful thing to see.
Yeah. And they could do it this person gets jealous of the other one type stuff.
Eventually the crowd is gonna get behind one of them, and I'm positive that this is gonna be Takeshita.
It should be, but it's also
Okada.
Yeah, because all he has to say is bitch, and he's getting people.
Yeah, he's kind of adorable. I mean, he's goofy, he's adorable, and at the same time, he's Okada.
Yeah. Well, we move on to our next to last match here, the Lights Out steel cage match. You have the Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, with Darby Allin, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and Bill Ospreay taking on the Death Riders, Gabe Kidd, and some enhancement talent known as Matt Jackson and Nick Jackson, it looks like.
They are.
Yeah, so a couple of new guys.
Not at all my favorite tag team.
Yeah. Just some newbies. Good hands, as they would call it. A couple of enhancement talent. Back in the day, they would call them jobbers. So, it's good to see these kids get a shot.
Extras. Yeah.
Yeah, extras.
It was so good of John Moxley to do that. Yeah.
Hey, you got to start somewhere. We've seen a lot of talent start that way. We've seen MJF, Samoa Joe. Remember when Samoa Joe pushed him into the wall?
And then MJF, Lee Johnson.
Yeah, and then go back all the way back in the day. Bryan Danielson and John Cena having matches on Velocity. I believe it was Velocity. So these guys getting a chance to show their stuff in a main event match is going to be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I guess they call their names the Young Bucks, but see these kids get a shot. Tony Khan must believe in them. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe in giving people a chance.
Yeah. And they probably deserve it. I don't like to say people deserve much, but it looks like they've put a lot into their careers. And
yes.
Put them on a main event. See what they can do. So, but yeah, those guys are taking on.
This was nice.
Yeah, that was fun. It was different. But yeah, your guy Darby Allin is obviously back from
the top of the world.
Yeah, the top of the world. So he's not doing that anymore. So he's back as we've known. We've seen him on TV a few times. He said recently he wants to be the first wrestler to go out of space. So that's, I could see that being next, honestly, because I never thought he would be doing the climb of Mount Everest. So we shall see. But who you got winning this, Maggie?
So let me pull out a Rob here.
Wow. Oh, okay. Gotcha. Gotta be careful. Pull out.
Because I said something else with SP3, I'm going to say the opposite here. I picked the Death Riders.
Okie dokie, artichokey.
Yes, because SP3 made a great point. Everyone is injured on the face team. Because, like, we only have Darby Allin, and apparently he's made of steel. Yeah. So Ibushi and Kenny Omega are, like, Ibushi just came back after a gruesome injury. Kenny Omega's part-time. Will Ospreay's going to get a neck surgery. Tanahashi, please don't die. Please don't. Jeez, like, I know that they chose a match like this because he doesn't need to be physical throughout the entirety of the match. I understand, but it's still a lights out steel cage match. We do remember what happened last year during a lights out steel cage match. We're still traumatized. We're still traumatized. So please don't die, sweetie. We love you. That's what I'm going to say. Why is everyone that's injured in this match? Like, stop it. We do have Gabe Kidd here, who for some reason was not a part of the G1. I hope.
Well, he was hurt.
I don't care.
Okay, well, you're
he's not hurt now. So, in my wildest dreams, apart from me marrying Joey from the Basement Yard podcast, in my wildest dreams, Gabe Kidd pins Darby Allin. My wildest dreams, this happens.
Okay.
I know it's not gonna, because I kind of feel like John Moxley pinned someone here. I don't know why. Who? Hopefully Darby. I understand that he's probably the only wrestler who will still be there the next week. Out of all of these people, he is gonna be the only one there. So it makes sense to be him.
Yeah.
Kind of. I see your point. You know? But it's... I also have one more question.
Mm-hmm.
We both love Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, correct?
Yeah.
Why are they a part of this match?
Because of Kenny Omega. Okay, those are gold numbers. That's all I got. It's because Samoa of the Young Joe. Bucks, I think.
Obviously. Well, Samoa Joe is there, and he was also injured by the Death Riders. Why isn't Samoa Joe a part of this match?
Good question.
Like, yes, you are correct. The dynamic between the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega is probably my favorite thing about this match, because I will always, always 100% be excited about anything that's involving any members of the Elite. Any of them.
The elite.
Again,
Super Kick Party.
Super Kick.
So, yeah, I agree with your winner here. I think Team Moxley gets the victory here, and I agree with Soupy in my wildest dreams. Eddie Kingston's music hits, and he walks down with that gas.
Yeah,
that's what I'd want to see happen. That's what I'd really want to see happen. Hell with it. I'm going with that. That's what Team Face is going to win because of Eddie Kingston. There you go. I'm changing my tune. So there you go.
Listen, none of us mentioned Eddie Kingston on the predictions on True Heel Heat channel. None of us mentioned Eddie Kingston, so now he has to come back.
Yes.
I feel like this is the one time that we said nothing about Eddie Kingston. Because we've been yapping for 3 pay-per-views in a row now about Eddie Kingston. And now he has to, because we didn't.
So it's one of those things where I just see a comment from somebody on Twitter, and Petro. Anyways, the thing that what I'm thinking here is that I was going to say, if you get Eddie Kingston cleared for travel, it'd be a good way for like them to go nuts, you know, like the crowd would lose their mind. You get, well, see, I'm already getting ahead of myself, because we're going to need a one-off with Moxley and Darby Allin. You know, they're building towards that. So if Eddie Kingston comes out, it kind of just throws a wrench in all of that. So, and plus, we don't... Ryan Sullivan says, can Eddie get through customs with a gas can? That's a good point. Sean, we have not. But, yeah, you know, it's, I want Eddie Kingston there, but it just doesn't make sense now logically for them to go that route and bring him back. And because then you just make this Darby thing, because we know they're going to go with Darby and Moxley. They have to have that feud. It needs to pay off. So, I don't know. Do you think? Because we know we're going to lose Will Ospreay, likely, right? Yeah, I'm going back. I'm changing my mind again. I have the Death Riders winning this. You're on mute.
I'm sorry. Okay. That's a part of AEW's babyface problem. They're all gone. They're like...
Oh, shit. There's another one. That's a good point, too.
Eddie would go after Kate.
Yeah, that's who he would go after. Like, there you go. That, now it makes sense. You can go that route. I completely forgot about Gabe Kidd was the one that took him out.
Yeah. Without question, without quotation marks, he legitimately took him out.
Yeah. So
the one time none of us talked about Eddie Kingston, this is okay. I'm not getting ahead of myself. But Eddie Kingston will get a tremendous pop in London. I'm just saying. London.
Yeah. London. London, jolly old London.
Yes.
Let's see here. So we both went with
Death Riders.
Yeah. I forgot about the Gabe Kidd like front there, and Soupy's right.
Yep.
So. All right. Let's go to the main event. MJF taking on Adam Page. We kind of already talked about it, but I don't see Adam Page losing this title. I just don't see it happening.
Really?
No. Not at all.
Okay, no. Tell me a reason why MJF isn't cashing in his contract then.
Because I don't know.
Because everything made sense up until that point. That point being this week.
Yeah, I know. I really got nothing there. Like, why? I just know maybe it ties back into Hurt Syndicate causing that issue.
Okay.
So, but I just don't see them putting all that time and effort into Adam Page's story and taking that title off of him right away. So that's my biggest.
I can see two things happening. The first one being because MJF made three demands. The title can change via disqualification. It can change via countout. And he doesn't cash in his contract, which is still a stupid thing. So the first thing I can see happening is Hangman beating MJF, winning the championship, and then MJF cashes in and wins that championship right after the match is over. That's the first scenario. The second scenario is MJF beating the crap out of Hangman, getting himself disqualified, beating him with chairs, tables, and everything, whatever you want, and then cashing in his contract to a bloodied Hangman, and he wins the championship.
Yeah.
So all of this leads to MJF losing the match, but wins with a cash in immediately after that.
I just don't like that idea.
I'm not saying that I like it. I'm not saying that I like it. It's just that this is hovering over my head like a black cloud. That cash in that they... Oh, yeah, you got it. I'm cashing in my contract. And then he tricks him into not cashing in the contract. This is bugging me. Something, it has to mean something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the only reason why I'm saying that.
Yep. All right. So, I think I saw somebody earlier say that for Forbidden Door 0 Hour, that we could see Bullet Club War Dogs versus the Ops.
Oh yeah, we can see that. They were brawling this week.
Be fine with that. Just quickly, we'll just go through there. Who do you? I would say the Ops would win this, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you think?
I love War Dogs.
Yeah, I do too. But I'm just.
I love War Dogs. Everything. Including Gabe Kidd, I love. But yeah, I'm gonna go with the Ops. They're probably gonna have 5 million matches on the pre-show, correct?
Likely. I don't know.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know. So that's our AEW Forbidden Door predictions segment. Now we're gonna move on to a little Cooper Effect action. So, today our Cooper Effect is on a man that some of you might have seen if you've seen a lot of the viral videos recently. He's a... his name is Frank Caprio. Caprio, maybe. I'm going to go with Caprio. It's one of those things where you'll see... Maybe you'll recognize him once you see his face. But... He has gone viral plenty of times because of his good nature of what he is, like as he is as a person and what he's done. like for the people of Providence, Rhode Island. He's done a lot of great things, and I'm going to post his picture up here right now. That's him. You've probably seen him in a couple of videos here and there, like especially on YouTube or even Instagram, Twitter, wherever, Facebook. You've probably seen him. But I'm going to tell you like a couple of things about him, why he's our Cooper Effect. Because he became popular because of his unique approach to justice on the TV show Caught in Providence, where he served as the chief judge of the municipal court there. And instead of being like cold or strictly like just like you kind of see judges on TV or like whenever you see a judge or even if you ever have to see a judge in person, they can always be kind of cold and just stick to the procedures. But he was different. He was known for his kindness, his humor and his compassion and like handling just the minor things, like whether it was parking tickets or traffic violations, just small things. He had a human touch that he treated people with respect and empathy. He often listened to their struggles before making a decision. He would often give them compassionate rulings. Many times he would either forgive a fine or reduce the penalties if people had genuine like issues, hardships, or family emergencies. He always had heartwarming interactions with people. And he always would also be relatable with people. He would talk to them, and he talked about having to deal with parking tickets and traffic violations. So it was easy for him to connect to people. He was known for the big viral moments that he had was one where he had a little boy help decide his dad's parking ticket. What should the court do for the parking ticket? He had the boy come up, sit on the bench, and help him decide what his dad should pay the fine. The clip went viral because the kid said his dad should pay the fine, but the judge lowered it, but it was a really good thing that he did. Another one was this elderly veteran explained that he was struggling financially and couldn't pay his tickets. Caprio listened carefully and then dismissed or reduced the fines and thanking him for his service. Just things like that. Another time, a mom explained that she was working multiple jobs and barely making ends meet. Instead of piling on the fines, Judge Caprio forgave him and lowered the penalty and praised her efforts. And I remember seeing that one and she cried. There's other times where, like if a child was in the courtroom, he would talk to the kids, make them laugh, or let them participate. There's just so many different things that you would see him do, and he always brought a smile to your face. So if you haven't seen any of his videos, I strongly recommend that you check him out because they are worth it. He will be missed. He passed away just the other day. I think it was Wednesday. It might have been Tuesday. But, yeah, he passed away. And he will always be somebody that I will go back and watch his videos because they always would put a smile on your face. So, but much love to his family and respect for what he's done. So yeah, let's do a little quick NXT predictions. Did you ever see any of those, Maggie? Those videos? You're on mute.
I'm sorry. I just get them because I haven't eaten and I keep eating and I mute myself because I don't want to be a CM Punk eating a muffin in the microphone bad. So,
what do you ever do to deserve like Adam? Never mind. I can't remember the quote. But yeah, I was asking, did you ever see any of those videos
No.
I'll have to send some. I might even put I'll put some of the links in on the YouTube comments so that way you can go see the comments. Yes. You can leave a comment and you can hit that like button for us.
please. Because so, leaving comments below our podcast after the show is over helps us out incredibly. You know what else helps us out incredibly? Leaving a like on the video.
Yeah,
you still have a little time for super chats and or humper chats, because Rob and I will be making some NXT predictions. And after that, talk for a bit. Yes, Brent, there's no... What a stupid question. I love it, Brent. What a stupid question. You always have to make me feel... Brownie looked amazing, just FYI. Jesus.
So we're going to do heat wave predictions real quick. We're not going to go like in depth with them, so we'll just go quick. Hank and Tank defend the NXT tag team titles against two members of the Dark State.
So we still have no idea who these two members of the Dark State will be.
Yeah.
For now, Dark State are trying to be really real badasses and then doing some incredible weird butt joke. This is kind of funny. But they are getting over with me. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry, but they're getting over.
They're winning the titles, in my opinion.
Yeah, because if Dark State lose here,
where do they go?
There's no coming back from this, because Dark State were the only NXT talent that lost during that TNA show. Slammiversary? Yeah, Slammiversary.
Yeah.
They were the only NXT team that lost. And in my eyes, they were going to be the only tag team, the only NXT team that ever won in on that show. But they were the only one that lost. So there's no coming back for them if they lose here.
Yeah.
There's no saving this faction.
Yeah.
And the thought process behind Dark State is really good, but they need to make something out of it and not butt jokes, which are really funny. Hopefully Dark State win, because something needs to happen.
Yeah. We move on. Jordynne Grace takes on Blake Monroe in a bitter grudge match. I have a feeling that, do you think they let Jordynne Grace get the win here? I don't.
No.
I think Blake Monroe takes it. So we both agree on it. Yeah, I know.
I have hated everything about Blake Monroe ever since she came to NXT. I don't know. She's a wonderful, spectacular wrestler in the ring. She's good on a microphone. But the material she's given in NXT is more than baffling for me. I do not understand anything that happens here. And she's involved in a storyline with Jordynne Grace, and she calls her ugly and everything. Have you seen Jordynne Grace?
Yeah, she's pretty. She's a
fucking babe. She's a babe, man.
Yeah.
And she looks incredible every time. She looks incredible. The way she looks, the way she carries herself, the way she wrestles. There's nothing I can add or change. Nothing. Jordynne Grace for me is the full package. Why is she a part of a storyline like that?
I don't know, but.
This is insane. I'm sorry. Yeah. I hate this. Blake Monroe wins here.
Okay. JC Jane defending her TNT Knockouts Championship in a triple threat match or three-way match against Masha Slamovich and Ash by Elegance. I think JC loses this title to...
Who?
I'm going to go with Masha. Even though it would be kind of cool to see Ash win it, I think.
There's nothing cool about that.
Well, I'm just... Well, you know me. I like to watch things burn. So,
yes. Yes. You are correct here, because... oh, my God. That's going to be so funny.
Yeah. But who do you got winning?
Well, now I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Because your idea is really, really funny, and I'm an LOL TNA, you know.
Yeah. I get it.
I'm gonna go with JC Jane retaining here.
Okay. Number one contender triple threat match for the women's title. Jada Parker, Kalani Jordan, and Lola Vice battle it out, like I said, to be the number one contender. I am never going to pick against Lola Vice, so I'm going with Lola Vice.
We'll see. I want to go with Jada Parker here, but Kalani Jordan's winning this match.
Somebody on Twitter asked why Lola Vice? Because I have a I have an attraction. I have an attraction for Miss Lola Vice. And yes. I will not turn my back against her. So there you go. I just won't. Anyways, it's kind of like Harley Cameron. I'm not gonna turn my back on Harley Cameron either. So
what? She is our best friend.
She is. She is our good friend. She's watching the show right now.
She is our best friend, yes. She was nursing that nose injury while watching Coexisting.
Yes, exactly. That's it. Exactly. You have a mixed tag team match with Chelsea Green and Ethan Page, our Canadian heroes, as they take on Tyra Mae Still and Tavion Heights.
There's no way Tavion and Steel lose this this match. There's really? No way.
I would think you're right, but I just have a feeling.
I would love if Chelsea Green and Ethan Page win because they're so my favorite. I'm an egomaniac. I love Ethan Page. Everyone knows that. And Chelsea Green, she's the most important re-signing for WWE in my eyes. She's phenomenal in everything that she does. I would love nothing more. But this Team USA versus Team Canada.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Tavion is still have to win here.
All right. I'm going to go with Chelsea and
I hope you're right.
Ethan Page.
Okay.
I always do that almost. Like, because I always think of like ego Ethan Page, but then I like stop and I'm like, no, it's not. So, but yeah, I'm going with Ethan Page and Chelsea. That brings us to the main event, and that is none other than Oba Femi defending his NXT World title against none other than the man, the myth, the legend. I am a big fan of this guy. I thought he was going to win the title. Let me rephrase this. Javon Evans, I think, is the future of NXT.
Sure.
I really do. And I think, I don't know how the hell they're going to do it, but they're going to do it. They're going to figure it out. And Javon Evans is going to win that NXT World title. There you go.
Do you think they pull the trigger this week?
I want them to, and I think they should, because that's what I want them to do.
Is this the right way to counter-program AEW?
I don't think counter-programming is right to do in any way.
Let's say shock value. Let's say shock value.
I guess. I mean, I guess. I mean, they got to do something, I would hope.
They have to do something in order for this show to mean something. I understand that. In my eyes, Javon Evans absolutely 100% should be the one to beat Oba Femi for that championship. And then Oba Femi moves on to the main roster. I do not want Oba Femi to have anything to do with NXT after he loses that championship. No, just go away the moment you lose that championship. Because you see what happens with Trick Williams. He overstays his welcome, and now he's all of a sudden TNA champion.
I liked how that match ended on Tuesday, though, with Mike Santana being in the corner. Did you get to see that?
That was... Really? You liked that?
I thought it was great, but I'm a big Mike Santana guy, so I think that's part of it.
I adore Mike Santana, but what this is telling me, I mean, he was in the balcony.
I know, it was just, that part was ridiculous, but it was just one of those things. I liked how it took his attention off of.
Really?
I know, it's kind of dumb. It is, but I think it's because I like Mike Santana so much.
That is your only excuse.
And I think Soupy is right. Oba Femi needs to move on to Triple A, as you like to call it, and face Microman.
What is this? Worst idea day?
That's not a bad idea. That's a great idea.
Is it?
I think so. They could have a competition with him and Omos to see who could throw Microman the farthest. shit, I love it. Man.
Okay, so listen. What I was going for is... I don't think Javon is ready. He should be the one to take that championship off of Oba Femi. Let me repeat myself. But he's... I do not think he's ready, man. I need there to be more of a definitive build, specifically because I feel like the build was more towards Oba Femi beating the piss off of Trick Williams on the microphone. This was what that is. I wanted to be more Javon and Oba Femi one-on-one battles. I'm gonna pick Oba Femi to retain here.
Alrighty.
I guess I'm just not ready to let go of practically the only thing that makes me watch NXT.
Oh yeah, another like kudos fact, which could have been the another Cooper fact, but Naomi.
This was gonna be the Cooper fact before Rob texted me about this. I actually wanted to close the show with this.
Oh okay, we can do that.
We'll
close out. I brought it up earlier, Maggie. I know you're a big fan of this if it happens, but there's rumors that Chris Jericho could potentially be coming back. I think it's all like it's one of those things I believe it when I see it type things. I know he's liked the post on social media, but hey, that's a way to negotiate your contract. You know what I mean? Like if he
absolutely, yeah.
And there's been reports that I think it was the Observer today. I'm 98% sure it was the Observer saying there's some people that believe he's not going to be back in AEW. They believe he is going to WWE. And we know when he goes back to WWE, he's in my opinion, he's got to be a face. That's just my opinion. I think it would go a lot farther one thing I will say about Jericho, he does evolve his character. Like, his character is always evolving, but sometimes, and he knows this, sometimes it's also good to make money, and bringing back that list would bring some money. You know what I mean? So that's what I want. If Jericho goes to WWE, I don't think he is, but if he does, I want him to bring the list back, because guess what? That will make him money, and I know he likes money, so bring it back. You know what I mean? Like, nope. Pads or note, I don't know what the hell you call
it's
it.
It's not going to be the same without Kevin Owens.
Well, Kevin Owens can show up here and there. You know, I would agree with you there. I did see that Kevin Owens is going to be the Grand Marshal for I think it was a NASCAR race coming up. So maybe you can fight some drivers. There you go. But
I mean, that is the only thing that you can do in a NASCAR race. Just fight a bunch of drivers, because why else would you be there?
Yeah, and you know what? We actually just got this message from Chris Jericho right now.
Hi, guys!
So thank you, Chris, for that. We appreciate you. Sean wants to know, who do you think should win the title? We'll go ahead and just talk about this now, since we're up there at it. We'll go to that. For Brent says Jericho will go back for a quick run and then get that Hall of Fame induction in 2027. Yeah. We're going to talk about this last. And since we're pretty much done with the show, might as well do it. So Sean Garner asks, who do you think should win the title with Naomi out? I call her Stephanie Bacour.
So what happened was that Naomi
came out. Hold on 1 second. Just kidding. But go ahead. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Did you block him?
No, I wouldn't. I would not block him. Thought about him.
We thought about it. Yeah, so what happened was Naomi came out during Raw. And they did the stupid thing, which I hated so much. So they teased something with the Stephanie McMahon show or whatever they want to, anything. And they basically gave it away.
Yeah.
They basically gave it away. And then Naomi came out to the ring and told everyone that she was pregnant with that segment of the Stephanie show. This was a weird way to say things, but that's not on me or you or anyone else to decide. This was Naomi's choice. I'm sure it was just a weird way of saying it, because you could have not have that teaser before the commercial break and Naomi comes out. You could have had that thing playing on the Tron when Naomi was in the ring without the teaser. That's all I'm saying. Because we all basically knew what that meant, even before Naomi came out. So she's pregnant. Big Jim and Naomi are expecting a child. So naturally, Naomi had to relinquish her women's championship.
Yep.
So what that means is that Stephanie Bacour is a number one contender's is a number one contender for a championship that has no title holder. So I presume that who's the other person that can fight Stephanie for that championship?
You got Rhea, you got Liv coming back eventually here shortly. You got Asuka, Io.
They can have a second number one contenders match. And the winner of that gets Stephanie Bacour, and the winner gets the championship. But I feel like I kind of had that person in mind. I don't know what just
Nikita Lyons.
Hell no.
No. I was off. Oh, damn. thought I had it.
Yes. That's probably where they're going with. They're gonna do another eliminator thing or a fatal four-way match. Oh, fatal four-way match. Roxanne, Rhea Ripley, Asuka, and who else? Natty.
Natty.
Yeah. So they can have that, and the winner gets Stephanie Bacour.
Yeah.
Because we had that entire thing, backstage segment between Kabuki Warriors, Io, and Rhea, because Io Sky once again told the Kabuki Warriors that she doesn't want their help. And then Rhea Ripley came out. So this meant that Asuka was mad at Rhea Ripley and Io Sky. And then Io Sky just stormed off. Yep. And poor Kairi Sane, she was like, what do I do? that was adorable. So yeah, the thing is that we're probably going to get Asuka versus Rhea Ripley match. Which they have to make amends for, because their first match was incredibly awkward, if I can remember. I don't know if it was, we were on a watch along together doing that match, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah was it
it WrestleMania? Yeah, it was terribly awkward, if I remember correctly.
Yep, it sure was.
Yeah, so they can make amends when it comes to a championship like that.
Alrighty.
So if you guys have better suggestions, please feel free to leave a comment below for this match particularly, because this is a nice question. Who does Stephanie Vaquer face for that championship? Please leave your comments or suggestions below after the show is done as a comment, because it helps a lot with the awful, awful YouTube algorithm that hates us a lot. And please do not hesitate to leave a like on the video on your way out. Thank you so much for spending your Friday with us, or any other day if you're watching on demand. I can go ahead and plug myself, Rob.
Yeah, plug it.
Yes. If you guys will, please follow me on Twitter or X or whatever you guys want to call it, at Maggie_IK. You can follow me on Instagram at Maggie.IK if you're still doing the blue sky thing, at Maggie-IK. Please tune into the True Heel Heat Forbidden Door predictions with SP3 and J News. And we had a total, total blast. Rob and I adore the True Heel Heat channel, and we are on it every chance that we get. Rob?
All right, guys. You can follow me at Rob Wilkins on X. I'm also on Instagram at Fightful Rob. And I'm also on Threads at Fightful Rob. And then next week, you will see us here again for another episode of Coexisting. Want to say thank you for everybody that tuned in. Want to say thank you to anybody that listens to the podcast and downloads it. We do appreciate it. Do us a favor, do us a solid more than anything. Leave us that comment, leave us that like button. And if you have time, give us a review on your favorite podcast platform. That goes a long ways as well. So want to say thank you again, and we will see you guys next week. I hope if you watch Forbidden Door, you enjoy it. Or if you watch WWE's NXT's Heatwave, you enjoy that. Or if you watch both, I hope you enjoy it. Whatever you do, I hope you just have a good weekend and you enjoy everything about it. So we will talk to you later. Peace out, homies.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Coexisting with Rob and Maggie. You can check out all our previous episodes on your favorite podcast platforms or youtube.com/FightfulOverbooked.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.